Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
You know, I'm going to try and do what Paul, the key founder of the early church, did. And he encouraged pastors to do. And so 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. So today I'm hoping that I can bring some good teaching through the word of God. There might be some correction, rebuking, encouraging, whatever God wants to do. But I do think that if we're going to do that, we got to have open hearts, because you do not need another TED Talk today. Ah, you've had that all week. You got all your podcasts, all your favorite, way better speakers than me anyways that you're listening to and all that stuff. So you don't need another TED Talk, but I do believe, I want to give you the one thing that the world cannot give you, and it's an encounter with the living God. And that is my hope for you today. And so I just want to pray. Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, three parts of the one true God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that this room and this moment would be holy ground. I pray that nothing stands in the way of the truth of your word. There will be no confusion here, no distraction, no fear. Holy Spirit, move, burn in our hearts, wake us up. Expose every lie and replace it with truth. We don't want information, we want transformation. We don't want to be stirred, we want to be changed. Let our hearts be good soil, ready to receive your word. Let your word cut where it must cut and heal where it must heal. We give you permission, God, do whatever you want to do. We make room in our hearts for you right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Have you ever felt stuck when you're trying to make a decision? Can you relate to this? You ever feel stuck? Like, I don't know what the next step is, or I don't even know where to start. Anyone, have you ever felt stuck in a decision-making process? I suck at making decisions. In fact, I find it funny how often, you know, when it's like, oh, this is what I'm talking about. It's like, cool, I'm the worst at this, so it must be a Jesus thing, because we got to rely on him. Because I'm a terrible decision maker, at least in little things, I find that I just like, ah, I don't think I did that right. But the big things, big decisions, you know, going to post-secondary, who I married. There, I pointed at Melissa. It was you. I thought you were sitting there. I was like, not you, Melissa. You, who I married. What it looks like for me to follow Jesus, how to raise my kids, who I let speak into my life, who I distance myself from. For those things, I have desperately sought the wisdom and direction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, wow, did I need that. Because I don't want to screw things up. I don't want to get off the path. Even though I often do, because what I want and what God wants don't always line up. And we want to make good decisions, but if we're being honest, we also want to be our own king a lot of times. And so here's the tension. You actually can't make godly decisions while you're living out sinful desires. They don't mesh. They don't work together. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a path before each person that seems right. Yay! But it ends in death. Oh, shoot. No pressure or anything, right? Our decisions could end in death. You've heard of the butterfly effect, right? That little choice that you make now and how that might affect this and this and this. There's a lot of pressure there on every little decision that we're making. Every day our choices determine if we are closer to God or if we are farther from God. If we are more holy and like him or if we are more corrupt and unlike him. If we are healthier as a person or sicker as a person. Every decision we make, it matters. So how do we make decisions that lead to life? Well, we need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit to give us divine guidance. And that's what I want to talk about today. Now, I don't want to assume that you know who I'm talking about, although it is important right away you know that the Holy Spirit is a who, not a what, okay? It's not like there's God and that Jesus guy and then some ethereal mist or something. Like, Holy Spirit is also God. There is. He is a third part of God. Father God, that one, you know, God for us, someone who created us and formed us and leads us. Jesus, who is God with us, the one who is the sacrifice and who's the mediator for us, that middle ground to draw us close. And then Holy Spirit, God in us. Such a deep, personal filling. He's not an afterthought or the third wheel, you know. Oh, the God, well, just forget about Holy Spirit. He's just the third wheel. He's an intimately essential member of the Trinity, three in one. This is our God. And Jesus paved the way for the Holy Spirit to God. You got to think, like, Jesus was the Holy Spirit's hype man. John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So he's like, guys, you need this. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I would like to be guided into all truth. I don't know about you, but in this crazy age of AI, I feel like it's getting a little trickier. In fact, I'll show you. Why don't we watch a quick video?
What you are seeing is not real.
How can you distinguish the truth from a lie?
They used to say seeing is believing. But you can't trust your eyes. I mean, what's going on? What if this artificial intelligence is leading us towards a very dark place?
The world is about to be plunged into a time of deception unlike anything that has ever been seen before, and I don't think people realize it.
If you ask me, this is the end. These are like the last days, and something big is coming.
Humanity has just driven off the edge of a cliff, and we are now plummeting at a very high rate of speed towards certain destruction.
I am not real.
How's that make you feel in your gut? That was pretty crazy. And sometimes it can stir that anxiety of like, what is real? What is going to happen? Now, I don't say that to make us anxious, but I do want to boldly tell you that there is only one way that we are going to make it through this unscathed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So if we want truth, we're going to need Holy Spirit. This series, we've been looking at examples from the early church in the book of Acts, and just the ways that the Holy Spirit is at work through his people. Now, Paul, who wrote like half the New Testament and great founder of the early church, he is walking out his purpose. He is doing day-to-day life. He is seeking God's will. He's being shown what path to take. And things are good. He's planting churches. The churches are healthy and growing. And then in Acts 16, it says this. I just want to take a chunk of a little story here and look at this. So next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. So a few things that stand out in this, like what is happening here? Paul and Silas, they're doing God's work. Like they're going to like tell people about Jesus and do this. And they're making decisions, they're heading in a certain direction, but it says that the Holy Spirit prevented them from that. I mean, it seemed like it was a good thing they were going to do. Have you ever felt like you want to go, but God says no? Have you ever felt like that? I want to go, I want to do this, but God actually says no, and you're like, but God, this is a good idea. This is a good thing. Sometimes God closes doors, not because he's cruel, but because he's king, and he knows better than us what we need and when we need it. God is God, and I am not. Can we just say that together? God is God, and I am not. Maybe God said no because he has something better for you. Or maybe he said no because getting what you wanted would actually destroy you. It's like, God, I want her. Sure, she's hot, but she's a psychopath. So maybe not. That job looks tempting, but it's a corrupt work environment, and it would actually really destroy you. You would not be able, it would be too much for you. So sometimes the Holy Spirit closes doors, but closed doors are not rejection, they are redirection. If he says no, it's for a good reason. And we are often a culture, it's like, don't you dare say no to me. I want what I want. Don't you put baby in a corner. Come on, okay. Only the old people get that. Okay, all right. I wonder, is there a door that the Holy Spirit has closed for you that's made you mad at God or distant from him? But I'm confident that one day you're going to look back on a life of being led by the Holy Spirit, trusting the no's, and you're going to go, oh, I get it. Look at what you did. Look at what you did. So some things in the scripture that we saw there, it says, so we decided. Okay, so to me, it's that saying guidance can be confirmed in community. Okay, sometimes it's a we thing, a group that talks it out. They compare notes. Is this right? Does this connect with you? Is this the right way to go? I wonder if you invited anyone into your decisions. I'm honored to have been asked the opinion of even people like even Seth and Kelsey. Over this last year, they've been making big decisions. And they're coming, it's like, this is what we feel. Does this resonate? It's a good thing to do this in community. Paul and the gang, it says that they leave at once. So another kind of key point from this, they leave at once. There's no delay. Often, when people say, I want to know God's will, what they really mean is, I'd like to hear God's opinion on this. And if it lines up with my desires, I'll consider listening. But we need to choose immediate obedience when he gives us guidance. Before we even know what the Holy Spirit's request is, our answer should just be yes. Okay, whatever you're going to tell me, I'm going to do it. And if your answer is, we'll see, I don't know if I would expect a lot of asks from God. Because he asks us to do things and go places and that. But if your answer is always maybe, why is he going to keep asking you? Why is he going to waste his breath? But if you were someone who's just like, yeah, whatever you want, God, don't you think he's just going to keep giving you opportunity after opportunity to do what he wants to do through you? They also say God was calling us, is in the verse there. And I think that's important. Are you listening for the Spirit's call on your life and in your decisions? God's vision for your life is not just about comfort. It's actually a calling. There is a calling that he wants for you. He's taking you somewhere. Jesus said, come follow me. So it's a call to something. And I wonder, where is he asking you to go? Is it into someone's mess? A friendship or a dynamic where it's like, I'm going to get in on this. I want to be helpful. Is it to walk across a room and meet someone? Is it to head into your workplace with a new perspective? Maybe it's starting that new job or that business, or maybe it's seeing your workplace as, hey, you know what? I'm an ambassador of this workplace, an ambassador of Jesus, and I want to head into my current workplace with a better perspective. And then it says, so God was calling us, and it says, to preach the good news there. Okay, JD, you had me up till there. I was with you till there, right? Sometimes God says no, okay, I can get on board with that. Community can help me, quick obedience, even believing I have a calling, but you're a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I don't preach the good news. I don't get up on a stage. Okay. But God calls us to preach the good news, sometimes with words, but I would say more often with our actions and our life, how we live, how we reflect him to our world. That is preaching the good news. Every decision the Holy Spirit leads you through is meant to bring heaven on earth and to showcase the good news of Jesus. Every little or big decision you make should be realigning you to kingdom purpose. That is the goal. And so Paul receives a vision of a man pleading, come, help us. And that is the cry of the world. That is the cry of the world. I don't know what I need. I don't even know how to ask for it, but I need help. We all do. But a world that doesn't have Jesus is lost. Yeah. If you do not know Jesus, you are lost. You might think, hey, I got it all together. My life's fine. Why would I need Jesus? You need Jesus. You are lost. You are empty without him. I'm sorry, but it's just the truth because I know from both sides. So I know what it is to be without, but I know what it is to have, and there is no comparison. There is no comparison. Someone might need your help, and I wonder what your next decision might be. So we see in the book of Acts, we see there an examples of divine guidance. God saying no or go, or maybe he's saying to you, grow or slow or whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? The bottom line is we need to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit so that we can be led by the Spirit's power. And Paul is quick to respond and trust, as we see in that story right there, that glimpse into history. Here's an account of something that Paul did. He responds to divine guidance. But here's my question. Why? Like, why does Paul do what he does? It's a story, and we can learn from that, but it's still just actions. It's like, okay, I'm tracking, but like, what's the deal? Why is Paul doing what he's doing? Why is he quick to respond? Why? I think it's a heart thing, and we need to understand, like, what is Paul's heart behind his actions? And for that, we're going to look at one of my all-time favorite chunks of scripture in the whole Bible, Galatians 5, living in the Spirit. I love this, and I'm going to read it and unapologetically just, oh, this is the best. The Bible is the best. He can read with me. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. You can check off whichever apply to you. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, and this is a good but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. This is the word of God. Oh, this is good. Now, So we've seen a story of what Paul did. Let's look at what he believes, what is coming out of his heart, and what motivates him, because we need that too. Paul's just another guy who said yes to Jesus, just like any one of us can do. What is the desire in you that results in the actions you take and the decisions you make? So in order to discuss living by the Spirit, Paul first acknowledges the problem. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. That's what he says. So we all have this sinful nature, which the Bible refers to as the flesh, okay? We all have that side of us, the flesh. And that's the part of you that wants comfort without commitment, pleasure without purity, control without surrender. The flesh leads to hookups that leave you empty, substance abuse that numbs you, gossip that masks insecurity, and a Christianity that's performative, not transformative. So we face this tension that actually can't be balanced because you can't have both. You can't have the flesh and the Spirit and function fully. It says these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. And Paul's heart was that everyone would let the Holy Spirit guide their lives. And he warns against those who live according to the flesh. Anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you catch the severity of that warning? Paul, be nicer. Well, truth isn't always nice. You follow these things, you might miss out. You can believe God exists all you want, but if your path is not lined up with where the Spirit is going and what he has for your life and who God is, you might miss the boat entirely. I believe in God, woo, but I'm over here. And it's like, the boat has just sailed. I missed it. I don't want you to miss it. So what am I trying to say? I'm saying that what you do matters and how you live matters. Not because being good gets you into heaven. It's amazing how many people say that or believe that. Like, oh yeah, I'm a good person, I get to go to heaven. Sorry, that's not how it works. Only faith in Jesus is going to result in an eternity with God. Being good is just being good. it is a good thing to do. But that is not what gets you into heaven. And that's not why we do it either. It's because once you said to Jesus, what you do can keep you kingdom aligned. The things I do will keep me focused on God and living a life. And it's going to create fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, as we saw. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you look at fruit, if you see fruit growing on a tree, you know those roots are good. This is a healthy tree producing good fruit. And as your life is rooted in the Spirit, you will produce this kind of fruit in your life. People will see it. It will be evident to others. What's different about you? How are you so patient in these circumstances? Have you seen our boss? I don't understand how you're always so patient or filled with this love or this kindness or whatever it is. So if you're full of the Spirit, your decisions will actually start to look different. If you have that fruit coming out of you, you are filled with the Spirit of God, your decisions will look different because your desires look different. I am coming, I am aligning myself constantly with the Holy Spirit. Keep changing me, keep growing me, God. And as my desires change to match you, my decisions will change. And I will be making wiser, more honoring decisions. And you stop asking things like, how much can I get away with? And you start asking, like, how holy can I actually be? Like, how much like Jesus am I actually capable of? I want to find out. You stop hiding your sin. You start hating your sin. You want to bear fruit? It's not going to happen by accident. Living by the Spirit cannot be done casually. It can't. If you're just like, I'm along for the ride, I go to church, that's good enough, I sit in a pew or I think about Jesus once in a while, that is, it's casual, that's not what's going to do it. It takes work. So how do we live by the Spirit? We've uncovered the problem, which is the flesh, and hold to the promise, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's unpack the process. And it says it in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's me, I belong to Christ Jesus, okay, well then, those who really belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Jesus was crucified on a cross, the worst death of all time. And we are meant to crucify our sinful desires. Crucify. The process of following Jesus and living this life and being filled with the Spirit, it is not cute or casual, it's actually violent. You do not manage your sin, you murder it. That is what it's saying. I'll figure it out. I'll kind of sweep it. I'll hide over here. I'll ignore it. No, you don't do that. You don't manage your sin, you murder it. You might ask, what does killing my flesh have to do with decision making or asking for wisdom? Well, James 1, 5 and 6, it says this, if you need wisdom, I need wisdom, we need wisdom, we need decision-making power. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Yay, okay, I can ask, it's easy. God, give me this, done, right? No, it keeps going. But, there's a but, okay. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty, can you just say divided loyalty? A person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Divided loyalty, it doesn't work. You can't love Jesus and the world. You are in the world. You go to work, you do your things, whatever. But if you love the things of the world, I know God wants me to live this way, but I want this. But I also still love you, Jesus. Actually, no, it doesn't work. You can't do that. You can't do both. Some of you are exhausted from trying to do both. It's like, I am one-way Sunday. But I wonder, what were you like last night? And that's, I know many of us in this room, it's like, okay, I'm actually doing my best to live one life. That is amazing. That is our goal, to live one life. We are the same person all the time, no matter the situation, whatever. But there might be some. It's like, whew, I can put on it. Look at me on Sunday. I'm ready to roll. But I wonder what Saturday night looked like for you and the decisions we're making. And I don't say that to condemn, because God does not condemn, but he does convict. It's time to make decisions that align us with kingdom purpose. And if you're already doing that, keep going. Keep going. And if you're not, it is always the right time to just shift gears. You can be led by the flesh and the world, or you can be led by the Holy Spirit. Which do you actually want? Like, if you were to actually stop and think, like, what do I actually want? I know what I'm doing, good or bad, whatever it is, but what do I actually want? You need to know that. Romans 6:6-7 says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. Okay, there's that word again. Our sinful selves crucified. We're a murderer of sin. So that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. That is a good statement. Can you just say that? I am no longer a slave to sin. And if you are a believer in Jesus, that is a true statement. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. When we died with Christ. Sorry, I have not been crucified on a cross. What are you talking about? Dying with Christ is to put ourselves in that same boat. He died for us to bring new life. I am dying of myself. I am laying this down. I'm connecting myself to Jesus and what he did in that moment so that my old self can die and I can be made new and be resurrected in his life like he was. You want to know a great way to do that? Get baptized next Sunday. That's a big part of dying to yourself and being made new. You can sign up, be a part, it's next week. I'd love to be able to baptize you. There's power in that. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. I bet you can't guess who wrote that verse. Paul. There's so much good stuff from Paul. His heart of what he wants for what he's living out and what he wants for us. I am grateful for him. He's still just a man, still a person, but someone connected to the Holy Spirit, living out in a way that we can come after and come alongside, and it gives us a picture of what it looks like to really live a Spirit-led life. Paul got a deep revelation of God and what it looks like when you live in his freedom, and thanks to the desires that we see in Galatians 5, we can understand the motives behind his actions in Acts 16. Paul knows the problem. It's our flesh. And he holds to the promise, which is the Holy Spirit. And he understands the process. Murder sin! Now we understand. Now we really do. We can understand why Paul was willing to course correct when the Spirit said no in Phrygia when he was there. The Spirit says no. He goes, okay, I will course correct. I will do whatever you say, even if it doesn't seem to make sense to me. Or why he was ready and willing to receive a vision when he was in Troas. Or why he immediately obeyed and went to help people in Macedonia. Some of you are in Phrygia right now. You're wondering why the door won't open. But this seems like a good thing. I just want to go this way. But I feel like God's saying no. And instead of fighting him, maybe I need to course correct. Some of you are in Troas. You are waiting on a vision. What is next? I'm following. I still need more. Like, God, what's next? What's next? I'm open. I'm ready. Some of you are seeing Macedonia. You're getting it. This is what I need to do. This is what God is calling me to, something bigger. But you know it comes with a kingdom cost, and you're scared to go. I'm sure Seth and Kelsey, oh, the Macedonia call. Ah, but you're doing it. We need to do whatever that looks like for us. So decision time. How many of us could use some divine guidance today, right? In every area, you got some big decisions. Maybe you don't have anything looming right now, but it's still the little things matter too, because everything is about aligning ourselves and heading towards God. And so the Holy Spirit's ultimate guidance. If you're like, Holy Spirit, what are you ultimately leading me to? I'll tell you, the person of Jesus. Jesus, who made the greatest decision of all, who went to the cross for you to remove the power of sin and shame and death and to make a way for new life, new creation reality through him that we can step into. And if you're here today and you haven't answered the call of Christ, I believe the Spirit is speaking to you now. Hebrews 3:15 says it so well. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. I've been praying for me. I've been praying for you guys this week, preparation, just like, God, we just need soft hearts. We just need to be open. I'm not here to convince you with a slick talk. I'm hoping and believing the Holy Spirit has been stirring you and guiding you towards something. I have watched what the Holy Spirit can do in moments like this. And some of you, you might walk into that workplace that you hate tomorrow with a whole new perspective. Some of you might end a relationship or start a new one. Some of you might put healthy boundaries in place in your relationships so that sin won't run wild in that area of your life. Some of you need to quit caring what other people think and lay down your life before God, and you need to be the first one up here after service to receive prayer. We would love to pray with you. You're like, I know I got a big decision, whatever it is. I want to partner. I want that community as I move forward. We want to pray for you. Here's what I know. The Holy Spirit is real. So real. Like at 45 now, I feel like I am more aware of how real, like bizarrely, supernaturally real I can have moments with my Creator, with every element of Him, the Father that fathers me, Jesus who made a way that I worship, the Holy Spirit who is guiding me and directing me. I feel like I am more in intimate union with them than I ever have been. And it's just like, it's so real. And the world is trying to convince you it's just a concept. It's not. It is. Our God is so real. More real than anything else in your life. And He knows you better than you know yourself. Who wouldn't want to know the decisions to make or how to live when the one who created you knows better than you what to do? And He convicts us and He guides us and He redirects us. You know, I'm a kids pastor here, and so in Voltage, every week we take time. We call it God time. We finish the message and we say, we're going to take 1 minute. We're just going to let God say whatever He wants to say to you because the Holy Spirit is talking. And so I do know I need to wrap up right away, but I want to take a minute. I want us to stop. You don't need to do anything else than simply just, Holy Spirit, speak to me. He has more to say. Well, I just want to invite you. Even if this is kind of different for you, whatever, you can sit there. If this isn't your thing, that's fine. But let us take a minute for those that are willing, that want to hear from the Holy Spirit. And let us right now, Holy Spirit, would you move in this place for those watching online, this in the room, speak to us. See something, you're like, well, that's not relevant. Don't dismiss that. Sit on it. Ask Him why. Why are you seeing this right now? Why is this person popping into my mind? Or why is this scenario, whatever it is? He wants to have a conversation with you. So just keep listening. What are you feeling? What are you seeing? What is He saying? He is more real than you know. Silence ourselves before you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Holy Spirit, direct us in the big decisions we're facing or in the little ones that still matter. And it's shaping our character and it's shaping the way we're headed in life. God, we want to be in line with you. We need your divine guidance. Can we stand up? I'm going to end with a prayer. For those of us who follow Jesus, like, hey, we are filled with the Spirit. We can follow Him. I want more of that. You actually don't need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just needs more of you. You just need to give Him more control in your life to dial in. But you might be here and you're like, I don't even know how to begin with this. It starts with a prayer. It starts by placing your faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross. And so I want to end with this. If you are here and you're like, I want this, it starts with faith in Jesus. And I want to invite all of us to just pray together and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross, for being crucified for me to make a way for me to step into truer life. I want to follow you. I crucify my sin at the foot of the cross. Just think whatever that is for. Just think about what that might be for you that you are laying down, because it's a choice. It's a decision. Jesus, you can say this with me. Jesus, I lay it down so I can walk free with you. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you can have more of me so I can be filled in you. In Jesus' name.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.